I'm going to talk about being ordinary. Now, we know that the media is obsessed with celebrities, people who look right or have done something really special. And this can lead us to think that being ordinary is just not good enough in everyday life and perhaps even in churches. Through the Bible, we understand that God loves people, all people. But there are heroes and heroines, and perhaps sometimes, even when reading about the great Bible characters, we might wonder if we matter much at all, or feel disheartened that we're not like David, Esther, Ruth, or Paul. I've been thinking about the ordinary people who are part of the big story of the Bible, but whose names we don't know at all. In 1 Kings 19, God's prophet Elijah sees God triumph over the worshippers of Baal. But later, when he's feeling thoroughly miserable and feeling very alone, God tells him that despite the years of bullying by the king, there are still 7,000 people who remained faithful to the true and living God. That is 7,000 ordinary people, and that is all we know about them. We know from the story about Jesus that he sent 72 people out to share the good news of the kingdom. Now, if 12 of those were the named disciples that we know about, what about the other 60? I mean, where did they come from and what happened to them afterwards? We certainly understand and better God's love and care for ordinary people and how significant they are. By the way that Jesus related to them, he did ordinary work as a carpenter and then chose 12 ordinary people to be his disciples. But during his ministry, he noticed people, poor people, workers, women, children, a blind beggar, a man praying quietly in the temple asking for God to show him some mercy, and a woman putting a really tiny donation into the collection box. Jesus cared. He said that something had to be done for the crowd that had come to listen to him. It was a big crowd, but they needed food before they travelled home. It was a long way to go. He was good. He was patient. He was kind. He offered a welcome, even when it meant changing his plans. And this welcome included people others rejected because of their lifestyle, sickness, disabilities, gender or nationality. Jesus said that even the hairs on our head were numbered, a way of explaining that God's love applies to each of us, that each one is precious, and that we all matter. Crowds of ordinary people followed him, listened to him, saw and experienced the miracles and the healings. His disciples, who lived with him and saw him in public and in private, came to the conclusion that he was much more than just a great teacher or a good example. He was the Christ, the Messiah, the expected rescuer, the Redeemer, the Son of the living God. And down the centuries, Christians have believed the same thing. So, of course, it is important to learn about Jesus' life and teaching. It is important to know about the people who are named in the Bible. But as I'm particularly talking about those who seem to be part of the crowd in the background, in both the Bible and in history books about the church, I'm going to give you another example. Many of the people who heard Peter preach at Pentecost and believed that Jesus was raised from the dead and were filled with the Holy Spirit, had been visitors and just went home after their life-changing visit to Jerusalem. And in the areas where they lived, new Christian communities were formed far away from Jerusalem and the centre of all that seemed to be going on with the early church. When Paul arrives in Rome in around AD 58, he is greeted by a group from the church. And it is thought that the church had been there since around AD 40. And I'm reminded of the song written in around 1981 one shall tell another, and he shall tell his friend, which speaks of the impact of one person telling another person, who tells another person, who tells another person about the life-changing salvation made possible because of Jesus, until whole communities are changed. I want to say that it's okay to be ordinary. Ordinary is very important, and ordinary can be very good. As a society, we should celebrate success. We should be glad that Adam Peaty was breaking swimming records this week, and we should be glad that he's known for being nice to other competitors. We should appreciate the many thousands of people who just do good things every day. Everyday things, working, being generous when there's a charity collection, and looking after their family and friends. I like Radio 4, and Saturday Morning Live celebrates everyday kindness when they broadcast each week a listener thanking a stranger who helped them perhaps years before, but did not feel that they adequately said thank you. Like the lady thanking the taxi driver who drove her to the station free of charge after a nasty fall in a London street. But the way our society focuses on celebrities does seem to reveal that ordinariness has something of an image problem. For many of us, life can be just ordinary, humdrum, routine, repetitive, and apparently unexciting in comparison. An ordinary life does contain a tricky mix of success and disappointments. I found one verse in Genesis 26:34 that illustrates this. Isaac, Abraham's promised son, is married by this stage to Rebekah. They have two sons. And at the age of 40, Esau married two wives. And the next sentence just says, they were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah, and we can only imagine what was behind that, those words. Because family problems and the difficulties of ordinary life are not new, and they are included in the Bible. Even the heroes and heroines that are named often made mistakes, got things wrong, had disappointments, things took longer to happen than they expected to. One day they seem to be making great strategic plans, and the next they seem to be making ridiculous and silly mistakes. We know that Jesus, when he was with us on earth, was involved with the nitty-gritty of and the reality of life, and we know that he's still interested in real lives now. Ordinary life was certainly part of the reality for the early church communities. The Apostle Paul made tents to earn enough money to live on. The churches were a real mixture of people. There were Roman citizens, soldiers, women and children, who didn't count much at all in Roman society, and of course the lowest of the low, the slaves. Most of those people had no influence over their own circumstances. The soldiers could be sent away to fight, the slaves certainly had no choice, and the women probably had very little choice about what happened in their lives either. But these Christian communities, made up of people, most of whom we don't know their names, experienced life in all its fullness, as Jesus had promised. Somehow, Jesus' teaching about loving each other and even loving enemies had taken hold. The life-changing good news that Jesus had triumphed over death, bringing forgiveness and freedom, had gripped and changed them. From being powerless, particularly in cultures where people feared the anger of many false gods, these Christians experienced the empowering presence of Jesus among them. They saw answered prayer, healings, and signs demonstrating the power of God actively at work among them. They learned together, helped by the Holy Spirit. They shared possessions and sent money to other needy believers. Their Christian celebrations included sharing bread and wine, the everyday foods of ordinary people. Their agape love feasts were about sharing meals in homes, in contrast with the extravagant feasts that the rich and powerful held in palaces and temples. Whatever their circumstances, they were filled with hope because they had encountered Jesus, and nothing was ever the same again. And this was not something that happened just for a little while after Peter had preached his Pentecost sermon, while it was still fresh in their minds. It was the pattern in the church. Somehow, and it wasn't always easy, the Christian communities included men and women, Jews and Gentiles, slaves and masters, young and old and rich and poor. And even with the difficulties of some internal disagreements, the problems of being a minority group in a hostile society, language differences, cultural differences, the small Christian groups grew, and research indicates that around 50,000 new Christians were added to the church in the first generation. The Bible includes letters that Paul wrote to the churches, and I've been looking at the letter he wrote to the church at Philippi. Reading it again, I found ordinary life there as well. Encouragements, advice, news about Paul's circumstances and what he was doing, what he couldn't do, what he hoped to do, information that their friend, who Paul thought of as something of a hero, Epaphroditus, who had travelled to be with Paul to help him, and who Paul says is a fellow worker, had actually been ill and needed to come home again. There was information that Timothy might visit them, and Paul says thank you for the financial help that they'd sent. And, rather sadly, he's pleading with two ladies who had quarrelled in the church and asking them to make up the quarrel and be peaceful with one another again. In this letter, we pick up his interest in and his love for all the believers at that church, and his concern with their ordinary lives and their troubles and what might happen next and what he hopes for. He wrote to all the saints in Philippi, a place with a culture that Paul described as a crooked and depraved generation. But listen to how he writes to them at the beginning of Philippians 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. He said in his letter that they should shine like stars in the universe as they hold out the word of life. This is not about one or two celebrities in the church. He is encouraging the whole church community. Every ordinary person who was part of the church in Philippi was included. Now, don't be in any doubt. I think that being an ordinary Christian is just wonderful, because Christians, we can change the world one bit at a time. We are not called to fame or to celebrity, because God doesn't really take much notice of who the celebrities are, but we are called to faithfulness, to following Jesus and growing as his disciples. Jesus said, whoever would be great in the kingdom should be servant to all. So how we live ordinary life matters. In Joppa, a Christian woman called Dorcas died, and the people were heartbroken. They showed Peter the clothes she had made and given away while she was alive. Did Dorcas expect people to tell Peter about her? Well, no, she just thought she was making clothes and giving them away as gifts. If you want to know the whole story, it's in Acts 9. People noticed Jesus' followers, recognized the difference Jesus had made in their lives. Jesus talked about letting our light shine so that others would see us and glorify God. So is it just possible that in our ordinary lives, that sometimes we don't think make much difference anywhere, are the places where we are asked to let our light shine, even when we don't know it's happening? Jesus' disciples were ordinary people, and so were those who became believers later. They were transformed by the encounter with the risen Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to be witnesses to everything that they had heard, understood, and experienced and known in their own town, regionally, and eventually round the whole world. They grew in knowledge and insight so that the Christian communities continued to grow long after the first preachers had moved on, and even when the churches were broken up and there was awful persecution and the people just weren't together as groups in the same way anymore. But I do need to say that being an ordinary believer, seeking God, or daring to pray something like, "Thy kingdom come," can change your life. Knowing Jesus and letting Jesus know us can transform us in ways that we cannot imagine, and in ways that we may not even notice ourselves. It can change the way we live, and it can change our hopes and ambitions. There are people who are part of this church whose ordinary lives were interrupted, and they have travelled to places and done things that they never expected. And our mission contacts with Nepal, India, Kenya, Uganda, and the Middle East, and Bristol Docks, of course, are evidence that God works in amazing ways through ordinary people. There are people in this church who are part of our fellowship who have never gone anywhere, but are shining like stars among their friends, at work, in their communities and in their families. And maybe in families sometimes, that's where life can be a bit tricky and really hard. But in case your mind is beginning to turn to thoughts that you, as you are not enough, I just want to say, God loves you for your ordinariness. Your ordinariness is useful. Your ordinariness is beautiful. And to pick up on some other lyrics from the 1980s, each child, each one is precious, accepted and loved, a love gift from Jesus to the Father above. I don't know what you like doing. I don't know your spiritual gifts. I don't know what you're good at. I don't know if any of those spiritual gifts, those special abilities and blessings that God wanted you to have, are unused because you don't think they could really have been meant for somebody ordinary like you. I don't know if you just struggle to keep going. I don't know the people you know, your friends or your family, or the problems and challenges you face. I do know that you have influence in the places where nobody else can. So, if you come into the category of being ordinary, and I have rather assumed that that includes all of us, I want us to be encouraged. There are lots of ordinary people who are not named in the Bible or in the history books written about the church. But what they did matters, and what you do and who you are matters. I don't know what God is going to prompt you to do, show you to do, or the circumstances you're going to find yourself in that are actually part of the building of his kingdom. The little piece of the jigsaw that you bring to make up the whole picture for somebody that you know who other people might have been talking to about Jesus. I don't know what act of kindness you're going to offer that actually makes a big difference to somebody's really rotten day. I don't know what it is that you are or what you do or what your talents are that actually, like Dorcas in the Acts of the Apostles, enriched the community where she lived and made people love her as they came to love other believers for who they were and the life-changing example of what they were because they had met Jesus. I want to tell you and tell myself, ordinary as we all are, that God never forgets us. We're greatly loved. We're greatly accepted. And ordinariness is just fine. It's the perfect qualification for being a follower of Jesus. But in being ordinary, we must be ready to respond when God calls us to offer something to our broken world. Because Jesus sees us, finds us, saves us, welcomes and includes, calls and empowers ordinary people just like us. Shall we just pray? Loving God, we thank you that you accept us and invite us and welcome us just as we are. We pray that in our ordinary lives, we will never doubt your love for us. We pray that in our ordinary lives, we may be like, shining like stars so that people perhaps look at us and give glory to you. Lord, for those who face challenges every day, we pray your grace and your help. And we pray that like those Christians talked about in the New Testament, that we will be able to be witnesses, able to tell the story of your love to those we know and those we meet each day. In Jesus' name, amen.